And a one, and a two, and welcome from the Tales for the Long Box podcast. This is episode 130. Spotlight on Image Comics, The Saviors by James Robinson and Jay Bone. I am Chris Mosby.
I'm Caleb Skeptical Gerard.
Okay.
I'm Murray Fox.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting a drink. And as the title says, we're going to be, well, it might not be evident, but we're gonna read through the first issue came out around Christmas time of one of James Robinson's new creator-owned deals. I believe, well, I'm sure he saved it with Jay Bone. A title he wrote called The Saviors, and it is, and let's see, where was that synopsis that Caleb posted here? Let me look at it. Yeah, well, okay, released in December. Story describes what happens when Thomas Ramirez, a man working at a gas station, stumbles upon an extraterrestrial plot that could mean the end of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And another issue came out recently. I forget what date it was, but I liked it, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's only two issues in. You can get in on the ground floor.
Yeah, and it's really – I don't know if it's an ongoing – usually they do like a four or a six, and then if it's popular, they do an ongoing, I think.
Yeah, it started as – and I think now it's been upgraded to an ongoing.
Yeah, it's really good.
The mini
– doing the what?
It's an Image book. I should note that. It's a blue.
Oh, what'd you say? Hello. You cut out a second when you're in the middle of your sentence.
Oh, I was just saying it's an Image book.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Am I still on?
Yeah, you're on. Yeah, you're cutting out a little bit. Yeah, I know. We need to start plugging in the cable instead of doing the wireless on this. Laptop had a little issue before. I thought I was going to have to scramble an alternate recording method there, but we're all good.
And my skepticism. I want to preamble this by saying my skepticism came from the fact that I you know, you said, okay, it's a James Robinson book. This was Murray's choice, by the way. Let's bring that out up front.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Murray said, you guys got to read this book. We said, I don't read it. And I was especially because I thought the first issue in the all new Invaders, Mark Robinson, was well below of quality.
Okay, you cut out the middle of that. So if I heard you right,
bloody hell.
The all of new Invaders number one was not up to par. You're saying?
No, I did not think so.
Okay, I haven't.
I wanted to read it, and our store either underordered it or sold out of it, so I didn't get to see it. I mean, I guess I could get it online, but but I think it's one of those $3.99 books. Yeah.
Yes. It's no Justice Society. It's no Starman. It's no Leave It to Chance. And it's not even up to his Cable days.
Wow. He wrote Cable?
He did.
Yeah, that was back when I wasn't paying attention to that much.
Yeah. He wrote Cable. He took it in an interesting direction. Anyhow, so, but this was, all the Invaders did not catch my fancy. So when you said this is a James Robinson book, I was hesitant but agreeable.
Yeah.
And I will say up front, I'm glad that you brought this to my attention.
Woo-hoo. Well, good. That's good. Yeah, because I haven't. I was gonna get that, but then when I saw it was $4, I didn't. But you know, I may obtain it in other means and see. You know, see how what I think of it, and yeah, because when I think of James Robinson, I mean, of course, I think of Earth 2 and some of that other stuff. Well, and I've got the first three, what do they call those? Omnipedias. Yeah, of his Starman work, and I've read the first one, and I'm sorry I missed it when it first came out. Though I might not have, because I remember reading the Zero issue, and I one of those issues, and I just wasn't my thing then, but. Now that I got the first three, I'm looking forward to getting the rest of them and read them. Of course, sitting down and actually reading something right these days, it's been kind of hectic.
Starman, I think, took I want to say at least the first 6 or 7 issues before it really grabbed me. Mm-hmm. Like I liked it well enough, mm-hmm. but the first storyline, I don't think for me was its strongest. Like, it got better and better and better as it went. So I forget why I stuck with it. Probably because I was still in my, I got the first issue, so I'm going to get the next issue.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take my Starman Omnibus to.
You have to, because he signs each Omnibus differently. He puts
Does
like
he?
A quote. Yeah. He puts like the start of a story or a quote or something in the first one, and then he continues it in the second one.
Oh, nice.
Pretty sure that's what he does.
Well,
with
then I need to grab the other three before I go.
Yeah, you have to lug them around.
Yeah. We were talking in the pre-show, going to a convention up in Kansas City in March 14th through the 16th, and James Robinson's going to be there, so I'll just have to get at least the three I own. And I got to figure out what to get Darwin Cook. I don't know if I want to lug my New Frontier Absolute Edition up there or one of the Parker books to get signed. But yeah, I've got to get that signed. I'm really stoked. The biggest one I'm stoked to meet is Scott Snyder and Darwin Cook, because, you know, I love the way he's doing his Batman. Though, news today, Mike Marks, the editor, has been Batman editor for years. He's went to Marvel. Apparently he did not want to move when DC moved, so he's an executive editor at Marvel now. Just heard that this morning.
Yeah, I think he's bringing Batman with him, I heard.
Oh, is he? That would be fun.
Yeah. I think Batman's joining the Marvel Universe.
Well, you know, if that happened, you know what the very first title that would come out would be.
Superior Batman.
It would be Batman, Wolverine.
The all-new Superior Batman.
Yeah, it would be a Wolverine-Batman team-up book that they just did stuff all the time. They hang out at the gym, you know, and eat pizza together and all that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of gay.
Oh, I'm sure it would be.
Okay, just checking.
Okay, we ready to get into this?
Absolutely.
All right, Caleb, it's all you. Murray, excuse me. Sorry.
No, Caleb won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Okay, it's the Saviors. James Robinson, Jay Bone. I think it's a $2.99 book, too.
Is it?
I think so. Can you dig it? I bought a digital book.
I might. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Digitally.
I just might have to pick it up then and buy it that way.
Yeah.
You go, boy.
That's right. I gotta support those peoples.
Sure. The book's got a cool look to it, too. Like it's got... It's black and white. It's all black and white, which I didn't think I knew going in, but I think it kind of works.
Yeah, I like that. It just depends on the book. Well, it's not really... Technically, it's not really 100%, though, is it? Because there's colors in there, but...
There are.
Maybe they're not. No, there's not. Oh, I was looking at the cover.
The covers are cool, too. They got this red, white, and blue... patriotic look going on.
I didn't notice that, but you're right. Yeah, I started reading number 2 right before the... Okay, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, the covers are cool. They've got the main character kind of pictured in the silhouette of the strange alien beast that we're going to find out about. They're cool. They're kind of striking.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we get in. And we are, I think, somewhere in the south. Southwest, maybe American.
I would say close to New Mexico-ish because of the desert look, and there is an Air Force base out there.
Yeah.
Which could be Arizona.
Oh, is that Arizona I'm thinking of? Is that Nellis?
Hello. Arizona's got Air Force bases.
Oh, okay. Well,
thank you very much.
Sorry, man. Sorry, dude.
There you think John McCain would let that all go? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Does Arizona have gas stations?
I know.
2 or 3.
Okay. Then it could be Arizona. Because we're at a gas station.
Yeah, but no matter what time you show up, they won't open for another hour.
What?
It's a time difference thing.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Gotcha!
So we open up with Tomas, and he's having He's having a little smoke of the weed.
We're not in Colorado, though.
And he's having a lovely little chat with a lizard, which is kind of cool, as we'll see later on in the book. Lizard was a good choice for him to have a chat with.
Yes.
So, you know, he's just, you know, asking the lizard to be his best friend. And
it's a whole spirit guide thing.
It's a spirit guide thing. He's using the lizard to kind of reveal little bits about himself, you know, his name and what he does and all that stuff.
Pretty much smoke weed, from what I've gathered.
He's a bit of a slacker, but that's okay. He's happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you're happy with it, I mean, yeah.
And I would say
it is
less in less subtle hands than James Robinson's. This would have felt really ham-handed about the exposition. You know, here's the introduction to the main character.
Yeah.
But it was handled very, very nicely.
Yeah, I think it was too. I agree.
And knowing stoners, he would, in fact, be monologuing as much as he possibly could, so.
Okay. Are you saying he partakes himself?
Who to what?
No, no. Oh, Caleb is saying, since he
experienced
with stoners, this is how to speak.
Gotcha.
There you go. Thank you.
There you go. So, yes, we get a little bit of poetic language about the joys of being high and smoking weed and... You know, it's all very well written. And as he's jibber-jabbering on there, we get a scene of the town. I forget if they... yeah, it's the town of Passburg. And this is something Robinson does well. He makes the settings of his stories kind of come alive. He did it really well in Starman. He does it here. I mean, it's not the point of the story to make the setting the big, you know, main attraction thing, but you really get a sense of what this town is. Like, you get the sense that it's like a small little hick town, and it's just doing its own thing. The Air Force Base is nearby, and the people just kind of go day by day. It doesn't look like there's a big industry there. It's just, you know, small towns and small stores and little water towers and things, and it's kind of cool. We learn that Tomas has a job at the garage, and he's got his room. He rents a room from his uncle, and you know, he loves the chili in town, and all of it. He like all of his friends have kind of moved out. It's one of those small towns where you go to school and you move away and just you never come back.
As fast as you can. Well,
that's right. Yeah.
Like, but the town from the Last Picture Show, except without the oil.
That's right. Yeah. But he stayed. He decided to stick around because the chili's good. The girls are good. He can do his own thing.
Beer's cold. Don't forget that.
The beer's cold. That's right. Like, it's just...
Oh, crap. And free cable. I mean...
And free cable. Well, that's right.
I might move there.
Yeah. They're close enough to the air base that they get like the occasional air show flying on, but they're not so close that the soldiers are always in the town there, so it's all good. We're introduced to the sheriff, who, you know, he says doesn't give me much shit about shit, and it's all he's got a good little life. And as he finishes his little monologue there, the lizard hops off and zips off into the sand, and he's like, all right, cool, I'll see you later. And then he's like, man, after all that talking and smoking, he's like, I'm baked. I'm done. Which is good, because at that point he's actually got to do a little bit of work. The sheriff rolls up and he's got to fill up the sheriff's car, and he looks after it, and the sheriff asks him if he's looking forward to the weekend, and Tomas says, well, no, he had Monday, Tuesday off, so he's working this weekend. And he asks if the sheriff has plans, and he says, yeah, I might take the wife camping, do some fishing, you know, Murray Bend, river and woods. Oh, look at that, Murray Bend.
Murray Bend. See,
I could go off on the Murray thing, because they're always like the supporting characters. They're always like the supporting settings. They're never the stars. Poor Murray.
Oh.
Yeah. That Mad About Me show, Murray the dog.
Yeah, I remember that show.
Downton Abbey, Murray the lawyer. He appears once or twice. There are Murrays all over the place, little tiny supporting roles, but they never get the spotlight.
But that means that, you know, you guys are going to be the evil, you're going to be the evil overlords who are going to take over. No one's going to expect it.
That's right. Yeah. We're all going to take over.
There you go.
Anyway, so Sheriff, he's going fishing and Tomas wishes him well and off he goes. And it's just, it's small town life. And we get to see how Tomas spends his night. And there's like, there's a little bar. Yeah, yeah. There's like, it's like one of those towns where there's like one main street. You got the bar, you got the hardware store and hotel, you got like the theater. And there's not much else. Tomas is sitting in the bar, having a drink, doing his thing, enjoying himself. And then the next day, he's back at the gas station, and a stranger rolls into town.
In a jaunty hat.
In a jaunty hat and a convertible. Mm. How do you wear a hat and a convertible?
Very carefully. I really don't know.
You don't. We used to have a convertible, and it was a hat-free environment.
It would have to be. This guy probably drives really, really slow.
Yeah, he must be. He must be an alien too, then, because that's really not a hat. That's just part of his head.
That's right. So the guy rolls up and asks if it's a self-service joint, and Tomas is like, "No, nah, that's my job. I'll do it. I won't even charge extra." And he's admiring the guy's car, and he's like, "Thank you, Ideal in Vintage Autos." And Tomas says, "Ah, that's why you're here? You're going to go see Frank, or maybe you already have?" And the stranger's like, "I was just passing through. I maybe thought I'd spend the night. Who's Frank?" And Tomas explains this guy has a auto boneyard out about 2 miles east. You can't miss it. It's a big place, visible from the road. He's got a lot of crap, but every so often, there's this odd beauty in there, too. And he's a genius at finding rare parts. So, you know, if that's your business, I'd probably go check it out. And the stranger says, sounds like I should. Yeah, I will. Definitely. Thanks. And Tomas tells him that Frank's a buddy of mine, actually. So let him know I sent you. The name's Tomas. And we see the stranger drive off. And this could just be a little random scene, like all the other little random scenes. But It pays off later on. Like at this point in the story, you don't know whether it's just another small town slice of life scene or whether it's building to something later. And I like the way Robinson is included. Like everything that's included in this story is directly related to the story he's telling.
Yeah.
And I got the, when I first read that, you know, not, you know, leaving spoilers aside, I was thinking that was his way of introducing that character, the Frank character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought, oh, we're going to find, you know, he's kind of the gadget guy of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I read this cold. I had no idea what this was about. So that was, I kind of liked that little scene. It's like, you know, for that very same reason, it's like he's introducing somebody that's going to show up later.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So we flash to a scene where Tomas is just lazing around. He's, I guess he's by the Interpass or sitting on the, whatever. It's, whatever it is. He's just lounging around.
It's a canal. It's a tributary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all dried up, of course.
But yes.
There you go.
Perfect place to smoke pot. Not that I would know, but
you say so, Chris.
I have no idea. It looks like one.
So he's sitting there smoking away, and he kind of glances up by the bridge, and he sees a couple of people chatting. One turns out to be the sheriff, and one is someone else. And he's too far away to hear anything, so he just kind of gets up and wanders closer with a really interesting perspective there on the last panel. He's all kind of bent and twisted, but anyway.
Well, he's standing on a slope.
He's standing on a slope, I know, but it is a funny looking, it's a funny looking shot, but I gotta say, I love the art.
His torso is huge.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I like the art too. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Darwin Cook, actually.
Well, it probably should, because they work together.
Oh, do they?
Okay. They I think he's been the inker on a lot of Cook's projects and stuff. And,
okay, well, that's why the style looks so familiar then.
Yeah, there's definitely – they share some similarities for sure.
Yeah, I got the last Parker novel that Cook worked on, actual physical. I'm going to try to get the other ones too. But that looks a lot – I think that's one of the reasons why I liked it, because I like that style.
Yeah, oh, I do too. I do too. So Tomas gets up really close, and he sees the sheriff talking with some military dude, but they don't look like people. They look like their faces are kind of angular, and if this were a colored book, you just know they would be colored green. Like,
well, they might be colored gray, because that looks like a gray. If you're a UFO follower, there's – that common look of the aliens would be the gray, which the kind of the face is more, I don't know, teardrop shaped with the the chin being at the tip of the teardrop with the, you know, funky stuff. Not that I'm
like
into that.
X-Files.
Yes, exactly.
So Tomas is looking at them and he's like, his eyes are wide. He's like, am I seeing aliens? What the heck? And then the very next panel, they're back to normal, sheriff and sergeant major, whatever. And the sheriff, however, has gotten suspicious, and he pulls out his gun, and he walks over to the dry riverbed, and we see that Tomas has left the scene. He's driven off. He's, I guess he's gone to the bar.
He's Amsgrayed.
He's running. Yeah. He's gone to the bar, and then he's gone to get his motorcycle, and he's just driving. He's, like, driving away. And we see that he's driving off to Frank's old beat-up auto body shop. And Frank is saying, Lizard Men, huh? So you saw Lizard Men. Well, you're certainly not the first to claim they exist. And Tomas is like, believe me. And Frank is like, well, I believe you think you saw Lizard Men. Do I think you actually saw them? No. Tomas is like, no, plain as day, Frank, I swear. And Frank is like, okay, listen, friend to friend, you are always high, like, always. You come out here, we smoke it up once in a while, but then you leave and I get back to the real world of my business. The amount of weed you smoke, Tommy, I don't think you've seen the world, the real world, in a long time. Plus, you just told me you were talking to a lizard. Stoned. Talking to a lizard. Just yesterday. That's where the lizard men live, in your head. Besides, Doyle's been sheriff here for decades. And Tomas is like, huh, I did not expect this from you. Because I'm your friend. Look, I love you, but sometimes people have to hear what they have to hear. Go home, Tommy. No booze, no weed. Take a break. Give it a week. You'll see I'm right. I swear. And Tomas is like, all right, you know, maybe you're right. This is a sign I should change. This is his come to Jesus moment. He's lived his whole life in a marijuana haze. And now, since he's seen Lizard Man, he's going to go clean for a week.
Yeah, we'll see how good that goes, right?
Again, knowing stoners, a week.
Well, and Frank says, I don't think you need to go that far. Just moderation, you know? And Tomas is like, oh, thank you so much. For what? You just said it, buddies. I'm here for you. And so Tomas drives off. And as he starts to drive away, the sheriff also happens to come to Frank's. And Tomas says, it's funny you're here right now. And the sheriff says, well, the folks in town said you were acting strange, Tomas. I was worried. I mean, it's my job to worry about all of you, so I thought I'd, you okay, son? And Tomas says, I'm fine. I just need a little bit of rest. Go to bed, shut out the world, you know. And the sheriff says, is that all? I've had days like that lately, but, you know, don't ride your feeling off. You get in the car and I'll drive you back to town. He's got this really stern look on his face, and Tomas is feeling just slightly uncomfortable. And the sheriff tries to
great
soften
panel,
him
by
up.
The way, the no dialogue panel of Tomas's
yeah,
face. Very nicely done. It, exactly, he said, looking uncomfortable. The panel totally says that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You so, totally get the sense that he, that him and the sheriff have had this long thing of the sheriff looking the other way while Tomas does his smoking and whatever, and now the sheriff is turning and Tomas is feeling, huh, this is not the way things have always been. And then the sheriff tries to soften him up. Come on, Tommy, get in the car. And that is when the mysterious stranger comes driving up super fast and rams into the side of the police car, and the sheriff has to jump out of the way to avoid being hit. And the stranger's like, don't go with him, Tomas. He's dangerous. Get away. And Tomas gets up, and Frank comes out. He's like, what's going on? We were just... And then there's a big blam. And is it... Yeah, Frankie is shot, like, right in the middle of the head. The sheriff has shot Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, he has tunnel vision.
Yes, he does.
Yes. Frankie is... Frankie's dead. Tomas is horrified. He hops on his bike. He goes driving off. Sheriff shoots after him, but of course misses.
I love how Tomas's bike is one of those POS dirt bikes that mm-hmm. That some teenager is going to ride around.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not some chopped up Harley. This is like a little dirt bike.
It's even got the racing number on the front of it.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too. Nice touch.
So. So Sheriff takes off after Tomas, and we watch the sheriff change from sheriff face to lizard face, and Tomas looks back and sees that, and he's like, all right, I'm out of here. And he takes off the road. He goes into the desert, and the sheriff follows after him. Tomas leaps over this big ditch, papa wheeling all the way, and... the sheriff's car attempts... This is just like the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
The sheriff's car attempts to do the gully, but doesn't quite make it.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of, you know, an advanced alien race, and would you think they'd know that it wouldn't make it?
Well, I mean, he's maybe he couldn't stop in time. Maybe it was, you know, just if the little bike could make it, my big car could make it. I don't know.
Yeah,
that is right. So the car is mushed. The sheriff's car is dead. But the sheriff climbs out of the car and he's like, "No way! You don't get right off into the sunset, Tommy. Not today." And he's looking grim, and then he like leaps like Superman out of the gully.
Yeah, I thought for the first time I looked at it, I thought it was that guy from the Corvette jumping from somewhere.
Oh, yeah,
gonna
yeah.
Hit that guy, and then I realized after I looked at it again that's what the deal was. So
yeah. Ooh,
sorry, just a good old
boy. No harm. There you go.
That's awesome. Totally it.
Okay, that's fine. Right. No, that's good.
The sheriff's on the run. He's followed after Tommy on foot. And then the very next page, we see that his body's starting to crick and snap and rip, and he's turning from Sheriff Doyle into some alien dude. He's got – I don't even know – I haven't seen the Alien movies. Is it like the Alien?
No.
Kind of drag dinosaur-ish. I don't know.
Yeah.
Tommy was calling them Lizard Man, but – they've got, like, funky bones and big
bone
bodies.
Well, from what we see later on, another shape it takes, that might just be just one form it can take.
Because
I don't think that other form that we see later on, it doesn't look anything like it. So, at least I don't think so.
We get this huge full-page splash of the creature, the alien, kind of galloping through the desert. And Tomas looks back and he's like, oh, God, I should have been happy with the lizard men, because this is definitely.
I'm trying to think. That actually looks familiar to something else I've seen, but I can't place it. But anyway.
Ooh, it kind of looks like one of the. Remember when DC did that Bloodlines
crossover? Yes, that's what it looks like. It
looks like one of the Bloodline beasts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Tommy is driving off, and he's like, at the very end of the page, he's like, no, no, because he is coming to a cliff. And this is like a big cliff. There's no leaping over this cliff. There's just leaping off the cliff and hoping for the best.
This is Last Crusade Cliff. This is
Thelma and Louise Cliff.
Oh, something just hit me. What's the number on his bike?
420.
Right.
A 420. Oh, good God.
Oh, that is code, ladies and gentlemen, for
code. Exactly. Anyway, it just hit me.
That's funny. I wouldn't have noticed that.
So it was. I called out the number. I thought it was just a random. You know, he was a loser who couldn't get out of high school mentality. Yeah, but
I did a Google search to make sure, but that's definitely it.
That's 420 fail. Yes.
Alrighty. Tomas, however, he is like, he's heading towards that cliff and he's not turning. He's like, maybe one way I can. And then his bike leaps off the cliff. The alien kind of screeches to a halt at the edge, peers over top, and we see that the bike has smashed on the ground and a big pump of smoke or whatever. And the alien is like, well, that was epic. And he starts sniffing around, and we get the very next page, and Tomas is like, under the cliff, kind of hanging out on this little hidden overhang.
Yep.
And he's just hanging out there while the alien is right above him, sniffing to be
continued. Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Kind of, yep. There's a panel, the last panel on the second to last page, it reminded me of the dog creatures from Ghostbusters or something.
Yeah, that too. Now, you know, this is one thing I kind of had a problem with, because he's hanging on that underside. How the hell did he know it was there, one? And two, that's pretty clear thinking for somebody that's usually on pod all the time.
Huh.
This is his home territory. He knows this. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, that's the only thing that would save it, because he's lived there all his life and has never gone. He's probably been all over the place, and that's probably why he said what he said right before he jumped, because he knew that was there.
Yep, I think so. I think he's like explored everything. He knows every nook and cranny of the desert.
And I will give him that the adrenaline surge of being chased by an ugly alien probably negated some of the pot effects in his brain.
Oh yeah, he's totally clean now.
Yeah, all sobered up.
Yep.
What do they call that in the Next Generation, the booze that they drink?
Synthale.
Synthale, yes. Where you can sober up with it.
Yeah.
Well, it never lets you go too far, is what it's supposed to be.
This is what Justin Bieber needed. He needed like a little alien chasing him to clean his system before he was arrested.
And then
we're sending him back to you guys, okay? So
like we're going to take him.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, and the copy I have has ads too in it. There's one
for
Matt Fraction and Howard Chaykin's Satellite Sam.
Yes.
I didn't get that when it was out, but I might have to check that out there.
Chaykin drawing big boobed women
in
bondage outfits? No.
Yeah, I've been written by Matt Fraction at the same time.
How? Oh, Matt Fraction. He hasn't been accused of any misogynistic activity lately, so.
Wait. Oh yeah, there was like a controversy with him, wasn't it?
Yes, there was. So.
Really?
Yeah. I read something now.
He was accused of controlling for girls.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now.
I'll get you in at DC.
That was a Matt Fraction thing?
Wasn't
that
Fraction?
He was one of them. Yeah, I think so.
I thought it was Fraction.
I don't think he's worked at DC.
Well, or whatever. I mean, that was...
He is now.
I will get you in to comic books, but I need to see your portfolio.
That was him?
I thought it was, wasn't it?
I thought it was Brian Wood.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
It's Brian Wood. You're right.
They blend together. It's all. They're the same. They're from the same rat pack of guys.
Absolutely right. You are.
I think Matt Fraction's been pretty... He's been pretty up... open about his feminism. I don't know. He's all about...
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
It's for his daughter. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's married to Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I had no idea.
Yeah,
they got two kids. I thought she was single. Damn, there goes another queen.
Cross her off your list.
Shit. He's yeah, so, 75. He's a couple years younger than me.
So, Murray?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you for introducing this comic book to me.
Yes, I'm looking forward to reading the next issue.
And it's a good, like, even though it's a quick read, there's lots of stuff packed in it. Like, I don't know, I felt like I got lots of info out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredibly quick read, and that was... It's one of those things that's been a pickadiddle, whatever. A problem with for me lately is the price of comics versus the amount of time it takes to read. But this, even though it was quick read, like you said, it was full of content. And that's thanks to Jay Bone's art.
You really let him go crazy with that, didn't he?
Hello.
I'm sorry. I'm reading other things about it. But yeah, that's
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're still on the air. I'm having a brain fart. I don't know what to say next. I'm sorry. I had a rough week, man. I had Monday. We had team meetings all week in Springfield, two whole days in a hotel with 183 of my coworkers, and then have to go in a hotel. You couldn't control the temp, and it was just miserable. And then come back Thursday and half a day, and then meetings from noon till 5 again. And I'm just now starting to get over it. I think I got Concred too.
Just be glad for the escape of comic books and podcasts.
Yes, that's exactly it, yeah.
There you go.
I spent a good part of last night sorting Magic the Gathering cards and playing with my nephew. That was very relaxing.
Yeah.
Even though he beat me once.
You let him win.
No, I don't. I didn't. I haven't been holding back at all. He kind of asked me to. It's like, are you holding back? No, I'm not holding back at all. Would you like me to? Yeah, maybe a little. And then he beats me.
So while we were reading this book, I was doing some research, and that town, as far as I can tell, it does not exist. Yeah. All of it is completely James Robinson creations. And like you said, Murray, early on, that's what he did with Opal City in Starman, and it sounds to me like if he's allowed to continue with this, he's creating a character out of the town as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Opal City had been part of that Starman mythos, but never been developed to the level that he did.
No, and that's his thing. I mean, he's a big fan of, you know, the genre stuff, you know, like the Raymond Chandler stuff, where Los Angeles was a character in all the Raymond Chandler books, and he did the same thing with Opal City, where it existed, sure, but... You know, I don't think it was, you know, as in depth and as nuanced as it became in the Starman books. And I think if he's given an opportunity, this particular town, Passburg, could also be a cool little character, because you got all these people wandering around in the background.
Yeah, yeah, that made it good.
Good choice, man.
Yeah, it is. I'm really looking forward to the second one, finishing it. It came out on the 29th. That was this week, actually.
Yes, it did.
So there you go.
Yes, it did. Robinson has a couple of new books coming out. He's got this one, and he's got...
Yeah, the Invaders one, which we've already talked about.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, like he's got his Marvel stuff, Invaders and Fantastic Four, but... He's got some...
Oh, that's right. He's doing FF. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. He's
doing stuff for Dynamite, too. I was doing a lookup for him, and that's the first thing that came up.
And this is kind of huge, because he has been, well, not a mainstay DC guy, mm-hmm. but majority of his
popularity has come out of his DC work. You know, Golden Age, Starman. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that, I love that story, that Golden Age story. I must have read that 15, 20 times. It's just so raw. And,
it's
you know,
a good one, yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, he is.
Someone pissed him off at DC.
Well, they. He had plans for Earth 2. Oh, that's what it was. They were going to do another Earth 2 series, and he wasn't going to have any say in what was going on with it, I think. I don't remember exactly, but.
It used to be the rumor, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm reading the thing back in July during San Diego Comic Con where they're talking about a new series entitled Grand Passion that he's going to be writing for Dynamite.
That one I want to read. I think that looks cool.
It doesn't really say much about what it's about, I think.
I think it's a lawman and a jewel thief or some sort of thief in there.
Two wayward characters, Doc and Mabel, one a cop, the other a cook. Other a crook who are fated to fall in love at first sight, even as Mabel swears she'll kill Doc if she's the last thing she does. It marries elements of a Harlequin romance with hard-boiled crime and takes it off in a direction that's surprisingly funny, violent, and sexy. Well, I'm there.
Like I said, he's a fan of the noir stuff.
Yeah, well, I've been getting into that a lot myself. Those Parker ones are, you know, awesome.
Yes, I gotta read those. I have not picked them up.
They're really good, and the very first one was made into a movie with Mel Gibson, and they changed the character name. And if you read up enough about this guy, he would anything movies made from him, if he didn't like the plot or the way it was done enough, then they couldn't use the Parker name. And until that was after his death, and then they did one with J-Lo and the hell was the other guy?
Because that would have got his approval.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. What was the name? Who's the other guy? From the Transporter.
Jason Statham?
Yes. They actually called it Parker. That was one of the few ones that they used the name.
It was terrible. I watched it.
Did you watch it? Yeah, that's made from one of those books. But that didn't come out until after he died, and that's why it's actually got the name. But the one that he did, the very first Parker novel he did was called The Hunter. And they did the movie called Payback, which they changed a shitload of it in. They made it more of a little bit more comedic, but I remember seeing the ads for it thinking, oh, this is going to be kind of funny. Well, it was serious shit, and I love that movie. And then I found out that they did a director's cut that's closer to the novel that Gibson had a lot to do with, and they've only got it on DVD. I've been planning to get it. I think it's like $8 or whatever. But, and there's another movie that is made from his books called Point Blank. It has Lee Marvin in it. I think that's the actual name of the book. But there's a whole series of them, and they've been made into movies all, you know, for a long time. Hmm. It's really good stuff if you like that noir stuff.
Well, on to for Saviors, Murray. Don't let me forget about this book because it is one that. Until I get a couple more issues under my belt, I may forget to continue reading it.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
Totally remind you.
It's just that, you know, the quantity of titles that come out every month, it's things get missed.
I hear you.
But anyway, yeah, it's good stuff.
Alrighty.
So what else we got? We got 50 minutes. That's good enough.
Sure.
Okay.
We did an hour and a half of last week, I think, or the week before, so we should be good. What else we got? Oh, yeah, Planet Comic Con, March. I'll be there. Everything's all planned, paid for. Going to the Trek Sensation thing with all the cast. I'll probably be talking about this a lot because I'm stoked. Something to look forward to, and I haven't gone to a con since 2009, I think. maybe before that. I found the shirt the other day. I'm still unpacking my various things. Oh, I've already replaced two of the comics that were damaged in the flood, the Great Flood of 2013, so we're getting there. I found on eBay the Flash 350, I think it was, the anniversary issue. Got it for a couple of bucks, and I got a trade of the Planet Hulk, so slowly getting those up. That's about it. Here. So, as always, you can tap this thing on.
Yeah.
Okay. as always, you can email us at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can join us on the Facebook page and get all kinds of news and things that you may or may not want to hear about. But it's all in good fun. And just search for us, Tales from the Long Box podcast there, and you'll go right to it. Or as always, you can comment on the actual episodes. And we are spammer free. Got a nice little plug-in that takes care of that. Let's see. That's about it. Anything else for you guys?
Go Seahawks.
All right, then. And that's it for this week. And we're out.